Hello world, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this June 20th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here, welcoming you on the studio phone line, our good friend, Senator Patrick Teston. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing good. Got a busy weekend ahead, a lot of fun stuff going on. Want to remind everybody to stay hydrated out there. It's going to be extra warm this weekend. Appreciate the time, and hopefully you got a good weekend lined up too, sir. Have a couple of things I want to talk to you about. The Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act. Want to talk about the Talent Recruitment Bill as well with you, and touch on the On the Job series. But I'm the kind of person, and I think we've talked about this before, I think you're the same way. I like to rip the Band-Aid off, Pat. I like to just get things out of the way right away. And I want to ask, what do you believe is the possibility of a budget being passed here in Wisconsin?
I think we'll get a budget done. It's just a matter of, you know, when. I mean, the good news is, while our fiscal year ends coming up here at the end of June, if we don't have a budget signed into law, it's not as though state government shuts down, unlike the federal government. We continue to operate under the base budget. So I'm sure you're probably aware, based on some of the headlines that have come out in the last 24 hours, that discussions have sort of stalled. We were supposed to be in executive session yesterday afternoon, and unfortunately, we've hit the pause button. So I think by and large, both the Assembly and the Senate were on the same page on a lot of fronts. There's just still, you know, a few areas that we have to kind of iron out to get everyone comfortable with. And, you know, it's a balancing act between the both houses, and also trying to get a budget done that we think the governor can sign. And so, you know, while I'm a little frustrated with the process right now, but at the same time, I think it's okay for us to sort of take a step back, let everyone kind of take a breath, and hopefully, you know, reset, recalibrate over the weekend, and hopefully we can get things back on track.
I want to get into it with you about this, but real quick, I hope the audience caught that. What the senator just did is it was almost a masterclass in how to address that, how to answer that question without pointing fingers or without pointing blame or you know, some of the stuff that we're so getting too much of in politics, in this state in particular, is really tired of. I can't thank you enough for that answer, man. I really do appreciate that about you, and I'll be honest with the audience, I kind of thought that's where he'd go with it. Because you are about accountability and not necessarily finger pointing. And I appreciate that about you and about our local politicians. I think that it's noteworthy. So I just wanted to take a second to point that out. I do think that there's a fear there, not only to us as citizens, but I can even hear it in your voice. And fear is not the right word, but just a concern that we do want to get this done. I think that what you said, I see a lot of the same things too. I think a lot of people do when you take a step back, but it's that taking a step back thing that can be really difficult right now.
It is. And, you know, yesterday afternoon, I was on the phone pretty much all afternoon talking to various members of the Assembly who serve on the Joint Finance Committee, as well as some of their leadership team, including Assistant Majority Representative Scott Krug. And I get the standpoint. I mean, you know, they're looking out for a lot of their members, and you know, with slimmer majorities, it's tougher. But, you know, we've been in these situations before and in the past. And so, you know, we just have to continue the dialogue and get people to a point where they're comfortable with the overall spend. And in our house, too, we've got some members who are concerned about the overall structural deficit and some other things that, you know, they want to see addressed in this budget. And so, you know, I think we have an opportunity here to sort of, again, like I said, pump the brakes and take a breather. It's always tough, especially given the fact that, you know, in the process that we're in right now, this budget's sort of unique in the sense that, you know, we are trying to condense 2 months of work into 3 weeks, which is really tough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone is under the gun right now. We're all stressed. We're all pulling our hair out because, you know, we're, for those of us on the Finance Committee, we're reading about, you know, 600 pages of budget papers, you know, every 2 days in preparation for our executive sessions. And so, you know, it's, you know, everyone's feeling it right now. But at the same time, you know, I think we will get a budget done, and we're going to hammer these issues out and the differences that we have between the two houses. And, you know, we'll see where the conversations go or continue to go with the governor. But I'm optimistic that we will get a budget done, and it's going to be a budget that I think, by and large, we can be proud of, that is going to prioritize the needs of the state, whether it's talking about issues like tax cuts, making investments into K-12 education, our universities, our technical colleges, and also our infrastructure. And so, you know, this is the process, and this is what I signed up for, which, you know, I've often joked, I'm a prisoner of Madison. I've been down here since Sunday, you know, working with my colleagues and my staff and our friends over at the Nonpartisan Fiscal Bureau to kind of hammer things out. And that's going to be the process that continues moving forward. And, you know, I'm going to continue to roll up my sleeves until we have a final document that's ready to be voted on out of both houses and sent to the governor.
Recently, or this past week, I should say, you had your bipartisan Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Modernization Act pass. Can you tell us about that?
I'm really excited about this. This is legislation that I've been very passionate about ever since I first came into the legislature. And this is a bill that has been introduced in some form or fashion for the last 13 and a half years. And I had the opportunity to author this bill the previous two legislative sessions. And it was the first time that this bill had ever advanced out of committee, had ever been voted on out of the floor of both houses. It got to the governor's desk the last two sessions and unfortunately got vetoed. But, you know, the good news is I'm not here to litigate past battles and, you know, arguments. You know, when this session kicked off and I got approached again to be the author of this bill, I said, absolutely, I want to get this done. And we had very productive conversations with the stakeholders and even the governor's office. And I think we got to a point where, you know, not everyone was 100% happy with the final product, but, you know, this moves the needle in the right direction. So our advanced practice nurses, they play a critical role in delivering healthcare, especially in our underserved areas. I think of our nurse anesthetists who serve as in critical access hospitals and provide anesthesiology for patients where oftentimes you don't have an anesthesiologist on call. And so this is a step in the right direction. We are going to join 28 other states who have already enacted this legislation in some form or fashion. And these states range from very blue states to very red states and purple states like Wisconsin. And so I'm really excited about this. It's been a long time coming. It passed unanimously out of the Senate Health Committee, the Assembly Health Committee, and just this week passed unanimously out of both houses. And I am really looking forward to joining the governor when he signs this bill into law, because this is going to be a step in the right direction to empower our advanced practice nurses to do the job that they were trained to do, which is to take care of patients.
One of the other parts of this that I saw that could be an added bonus along with this is the opportunity for jobs in the area, in the state, and bringing people in with that. And kind of leads me into the talent recruitment bill. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, this is a legislation that's called Make My Move. And so I don't think it's any secret. I've talked about this numerous times when you've interviewed me in the past, that we do have demographic challenges here in the state. Our population is not getting any younger, and we are in direct competition with 49 other states. And so if we can have tools available for communities like Wisconsin Rapids or anywhere in the state to go out and potentially receive grant dollars if this legislation becomes law, communities could apply for upwards of $50,000 to go out and attract talent and professionals that move into their communities. And I've often said one of the biggest challenges that we have here in the state of Wisconsin is that we're too humble. And, you know, we have to be able to sell ourselves and go out there and promote what we have to offer. We have low cost of living. We have great work-life balance here in the state. Recreation opportunities are abound. We can't do much about our winters, but all that aside,
yeah.
The good news is that if we can get this legislation enacted, I think it's going to provide an opportunity for communities, the state, to partner together to go out and make the case as to why Wisconsin's the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And so we're working on this legislation. You know, we've got a few hurdles that we have to overcome, try and get some of our colleagues to get more buy-in and support the bill. But we're going to continue to move the needle on this and try and continue to build support. It does have bipartisan support, because I think by and large, Republicans and Democrats, while we may not always agree on things, I think we can all agree that we want to do everything that we can to best position Wisconsin and our communities all across the state to be welcoming and lay down the welcome mat for individuals to come in from places like Minnesota, Illinois, and elsewhere across the country.
We're speaking with Senator Patrick Teston, and you recently began circulating for the co-sponsorship of a bill that aims to reauthorize, reform, and improve the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. For those that don't know what that program is, can you tell us a little about that and why you've been circulating this, why you've been going to your colleagues about this one?
So the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program, it's been widely popular. It was implemented back in 1989. And basically, it's a program that's administered through the Department of Natural Resources for organizations and communities to purchase land for stewardship and conservation. And this is a great program. A lot of our sportsmen groups are huge fans of this. Now, what happened, there was a court case last summer that basically kind of upended the program and put it on its deathbed, where how this has operated in the past is that we would enumerate a pot of money in the Joint Finance Committee supplemental account. And as projects were going through the process, the Department of Natural Resources would come before the Joint Finance Committee and we would have what was called a passive review. Now, the Supreme Court case ended that. And the challenge there is that, by and large, there's a number of my colleagues, and I would throw myself in this boat as well, that aren't going to feel comfortable just allocating a pot of money for the DNR to basically do what they want carte blanche. There needs to be some oversight. There needs to be some checks and balances. So I, along with State Representative Tony Kurtz, we came together, we put our heads together and said, you know what, we don't want to see this program go away. We want to do what we can to try and find a way to move forward with this program, still have some parameters put in place, make some changes, some reforms, because again, this is a widely popular program. And so we've introduced a bill. It's going through the process right now. It was heard in the Assembly Sport and Heritage Committee just a week and a half ago. We're still waiting for a public hearing here in the Senate. And while it's probably not going to be enumerated into the state budget, well, maybe it will, given the fact that we're taking a little bit of a pause right now. But regardless, we're still going to pursue every avenue that we can to get this bill done. And I think by and large, many of the conversations I've had, even with some of my Democratic colleagues, they've come up to me and expressed, thank you for doing this. We don't want to see this program go away. We understand the implications of what that court case did to the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program, and we want to do what we can to help you. And so I think, you know, everyone's sort of on the same page here. We've got some things that we have to work out. And again, sort of like the APRN bill, not everyone's happy with the framework we've established, but at the same time, if we don't do anything, the program goes away. And I don't think anyone wants to be in that situation. So we're going to continue to hammer this home and hopefully get it to the governor and hopefully have it signed into law, and we can see the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program operate into future bienniums.
Wanted to congratulate you. You were recently named the 2025 Wisconsin Historical Society Legislator of the Year. I imagine that's got to mean a lot to you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, right now, the new historical museum is being built as we speak, just off the Capitol Square. And what's so great about this organization, they've done a phenomenal job. And, you know, to share the history of the state and preserve all the artifacts, I mean, it truly is remarkable. And I can't wait to see this project get finished. In fact, when we took up the Historical Society on the Joint Finance Committee, we gave them basically everything they asked for, because I think we all recognize that we've approved this project in the past. We want to see it come to fruition. And I'm hoping here in the next year, I look forward to being at the ribbon cutting and walking through and seeing all the new exhibits and probably going to learn a thing or two about our state that I didn't know previously. And so I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, when it's finally ready and open, I hope when folks come down to Madison, they take some time to check out the new museum and learn some things about our state that you probably didn't know before you walked in.
Yeah, and you had me at history. I love history. The more local, the better. And Wisconsin has some of the best history in the union. Congratulations again, sir. Before we let you go, did want to check in on the On the Job series. How is that going along?
Well, I was supposed to have one today. I was supposed to be working up at the Central Wisconsin Airport. Given the dynamics that we're in the middle of state budget, we're going to postpone that until July. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be done by then. We're taking a pause this month just so we can focus on the state budget and get that hammered out. But Next month, stay tuned. I'll be working at the Central Wisconsin Airport. Hopefully, nothing goes wrong, but we'll keep the flights on time and keep everyone traveling safe and sound.
Well, I appreciate that. Not only the look behind the curtain there, but certainly the day job coming first. But we love the On the Job series. Look forward to hearing more about it. And one of these days, getting you into the studios here, you can work with Pam. You can help her out or something like that. Thanks for joining us, sir. If people have follow-up questions, they'd like to reach out to you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get in touch with my office, feel free to give us a call at 608-266-3123. Shoot us an email at SEN, my last name, Teston, at LEGIS.WI.gov. Follow us on social media. Sign up for my e-newsletter. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention, I'm looking forward to seeing folks at the Cranberry Blossom Parade on Sunday. So stay tuned. I'll be handing out my Packer Magnet schedule. So we got those stocked and ready to go and looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to having you back in town. It'll be fun. Thanks again for the time. You have a good weekend. We'll talk again next month, sir.
Looking forward to it, James. Thank you.
And a big thank you to you for joining us out there. We appreciate you. We'll be back with more WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crackett Septic here at 97.5 FM WFHR.